Yesterday, Hyaroji explained that by developing Pupapagamaka, the preliminary path, one is also fulfilling Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. By fulfilling Sila, morality, one can remove videkamakilesa, transgressive defilements. By fulfilling samadhi, Saraji explained how priyutanakilesa, obsessive defilements, can be removed. And Saraji also explained that by practicing panya, wisdom, how the anusyakilesa, latent or dormant form of defilements, are removed. So in each noting, when one discerns by noting, at the moment of discerning, one is developing three factors of sila, morality, three factors of samadhi, concentration, and two factors of panya, wisdom. So by fulfilling sila, samadhi, panya, by discerning through noting, one can remove gross, medium, and refined form of defilements. And thus, the virtue, the quality of the Dhamma prevails through practice. And there are many things to be explained about Dhamma, and it is very profound. So it is not easy to note, it is not easy to be learning everything at once. And when yogis have the practice, when yogis gain to a certain stage in the practice, it will be easier for them to learn. First of all, Saraji says it is necessary to learn in brief of the main points. So with this topic, the question, there may be question, what one develops and what one will know by developing. And by developing samadhi, what one discerns. So the answer is, one should discern dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. So among the four truths, what is more important is dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, and magga satya, the truth of path leading to cessation. So first of all, one should discern dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. And one should know what are dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. All the physical and mental phenomena that is arising in oneself is dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. So in oneself, the phenomena such as touching, knowing, hearing, seeing, and so on, everything is included in dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. And by noting the objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen at the moment of their arising, then one discerns stiffness, tension, warmth, heat, cold, hardness, softness, and so on. And also, when doing walking meditation, one should be mindful of lifting, moving, placing, turning, bending, stretching. Everything should be done mindfully. So whatever the nama-rupa phenomena, whatever the physical and mental phenomena that are arising in oneself, in the way of seeing, hearing, touching, all of them are dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. So one should know that whatever is happening, whatever phenomena, whether it is physical or mental phenomena that is happening, are included in dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. So yogis should be mindful of these physical and mental phenomena at the moment they arise. In the beginning, yogis may be noting the object, but they cannot discern yet. And later on, one comes to discern the dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. Samudaya satya is the truth of origin of suffering, which is tanha, craving. Craving, being attached, is the cause of suffering. So the craving to see, craving to hear, craving to smell, craving to eat, and so on, such craving is the cause of suffering. And usually, people crave on nama and rupa phenomena. They like, they crave, they become attached concerning with their nama rupa mentality and materiality. Craving, tanha, is called smudaya satya, the truth of suffering, the truth of origin of suffering. So craving is the cause of suffering. Smudaya satya, which is craving, it is the cause. And dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, it is the effect. The cessation of both dukkha and smudaya, the cessation of both suffering and the root of suffering, is called nirodha satya, the truth of cessation. So when mental phenomena and physical phenomena come to a cessation, it is nirodha satya, the truth of suffering. So whatever phenomena that arises, when they come to a cessation, it is nirodha satya, the truth of suffering. When one realizes nirodha satya, the truth of cessation, one realizes through magga satya, the truth of the path. So by magga satya, the truth of the path, one realizes nirodha satya, the cessation. Among the four truths, the first two, dukkha satya and smudaya satya, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, these two are called vada satya. They are the truth which are continuously arising as cause and effect. And the other two, nirodha satya and magga satya, the truth of cessation and the truth of path leading to cessation, they are vivada satya. In another way, the first two, dukkha satya and smudaya satya, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, are called logiya satya. They are mundane truth. And the last two, nirodha satya and magga satya, the truth of cessation and the truth of path leading to cessation, they are logodara satya, supramundane truth. So what the yogi should deal with is the first two, dukkha satya and smudaya satya. So yogis should be noting, observing the first two, Dukkha Satta and Mudita Satta, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering. Logodara Satta, supramundane truth, which are the last two, they are not the object to be noted. So within ourselves, there are Dukkha Satta, the truth of suffering. The truth of suffering is a big field of objects to be noted. Within the field of objects to be noted, there are objects that arise at the present moment. The objects arise due to circumstances, and the object that is arising at the present moment is the object to be noted. And also, when one craves onto things, this craving is also to be noted. So in this way, one should be noting, observing the two truths, Dukkha Satta and Mudita Satta, as the object of meditation. So the two Vata Satta, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, make up the field of objects to be noted. The second, the last two, Nirodha Satta and Magga Satta, they are not to be observed because they have not arisen in oneself. So whatever is happening at the present moment, whatever object is happening at the moment, they should be noted, they should be observed. So yogis should understand that they should be observing, noting the first two truths, which are Vata, Satta. In order to know what the Vata Satta is, yogis should learn. And the first one, there are factors how yogis should learn. One is Ogaha, meaning that one should learn. One should learn what is Rupa, materiality, what is Nama, mentality, what is Khanda, the aggregates. So yogis should know the main point in brief. What is mentality? What is materiality? And one should learn stage by stage. And if one is not clear about something, then yogis can discuss with their teacher. So there should be discussion. It is called paribhojja, discussion between the yogi and the teacher. And there should be Dhamma Sakaccha, discussion about the Dhamma between the yogi and the meditation teacher. So at first, yogis should learn what are the field of objects to be noted and what is the object to be noted. And yogis should learn how to note, how to observe the object. So they should learn the method. And there should be savana. One should listen attentively on the guidance and instruction and the method how to practice. And also, one should bear it in the mind so that one does not forget. So one should bear it in the mind accurately so that one does not forget. Bearing in the mind what one has learned is called dharana. And the other factor is samasana. One should practice accordingly to the instruction given by noting objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen and so on. So samasana is putting into practice according to the guidance given, one should rub one's noting mind onto the object. And samasana can also be translated as reflection. One should note in such a way that the noting mind should be effective. The noting mind should rub onto the object. When the noting mind can note effectively, then yogi comes to know rising and falling. In order to discern rising and falling, one should note aiming the noting mind towards the object. When the noting mind falls on stiffness, yogi will know stiffness. When the noting mind rub onto tension, yogi will know tension. And when the noting mind rubs onto movement, yogi will know movement. And it is called Pativeda. Pativeda means penetrating, knowing in a penetrative way, penetrating. So in this way, by noting thus, one comes to penetrate, one comes to discern mind and matter, cause and effect, characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. So it is called Pativeda, penetrating the nature, penetrating mind and matter, cause and effect, impermanent suffering and non-self. So what the yogis should be practicing is on the first two satta, Dukkha Satta and Smudya Satta, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering. The latter two, Vivata Satta, it is enough when one knows by theory about the last two. And later on, when one realizes the cessation, one understand the other two from their experience. So at the beginning of the practice, it is enough when they have learned through theory what the later two truths are. And they should work on the first two, Dukkha Satta and Smudya Satta. Buddha has shown what is the field of objects to be noted. And Buddha used the word kaya. Kaya is a group of materiality makes up rupa kaya, materiality group, and group of mentality make up namakaya, the mentality group. So the materiality group and the mentality group are the field of objects to be noted. And among the field of objects to be noted, there are objects that is presently arising object is the object to be noted. So when one is seeing, hearing, touching, knowing, rising, falling, lifting, moving, placing, bending, stretching, at the moment of these instances, there are mentality and materiality arising at this moment, and one should be noting them. So there is a saying in Vipassana that one should observe, one should note the object that is arising, the object that is obvious at the present moment. And when one is noting the object, one should note it as a whole. For example, at the moment of hearing, there is the ear base, which is sensitivity, materiality, and its receptor element. And the sound wave, it is striker element, which is also materiality. The ear base and the sound wave, they are materiality, which are dukkha satta, truth of suffering. So when the sound wave strikes the ear, there is hearing consciousness, hearing contact, and hearing feeling. Hearing consciousness, hearing contact, and hearing feeling are nama dukkha satta. They are mentality, which are the truth of suffering. So when noting hearing, one should note it, observe it as a whole, as hearing. One should not analyze it one by one as in theory of Abhidhamma. So at the moment of hearing, the three elements, the striker element, receptor element, and the ignition element are arising, and one should note it as sunati in Pali and hearing. So one should note as a whole, generally, as hearing. And one should not be analyzing one by one as in Abhidhamma lectures or in Abhidhamma learning. So in Abhidhamma study, one has to analyze one by one as striker element, receptor element, and ignition element. But when practicing Vipassana meditation, when one is noting, one should just note it as a whole, as hearing only. No need to analyze one by one as in Abhidhamma study. Saraji gives an example. When one looks at someone, one has to look at his or her face as a whole. By looking at the face as a whole, at times one sees the forehead, the nose, the lips, the cheeks, and so on. By looking at the face as a whole. In the same way, when noting the object, one should note it as hearing, as a whole, and not to analyze one by one as in Abhidhamma study. So whatever object that arises due to circumstances, one should note it as a whole. So if there is seeing, one should note it as a whole seeing. One should not be analyzing as eye sensitivity, visible object, seeing consciousness, seeing contact, or seeing feeling. One should not be analyzing that way, but one should note it as just seeing. And Saraji gave another example. When one sits down from standing position, there is the intention to sit down. So there is the series of intention to sit down and the actual sitting down. So series of intention to sit down, it is nama, mentality, and the actual sitting down, the body becomes heavier and heavier, and the actual sitting down takes place, which is rupa, materiality. So when noting sitting down, one should not be analyzing, this is materiality, this is mentality. One should not analyze this way, but one should note it as a whole in a general way, just as sitting. This is what yogis should understand, how they should be noting. And Saraji gives an example. In food, each of the pieces of food has their own flavor, such as sour flavor, sweet flavor, bitter flavor, spicy, hot flavor, and so on. So in order to know the taste, one should pick it up with a fork, chew it properly, so that one will know the taste. Even though one may have tasted the same kind of food, the flavor one knows may just be thinking, imaginary, if it is not through chewing. So one should chew it, and one will know the taste, the flavor, sweet flavor, sour flavor, and so on. If one does not chew, then one will not know the taste. So one should chew it in order to know the flavor. And the flavor is also the flavor one will know. In the same way, one should observe the object so as to know the true nature, the true characteristics. Each and every mentality, materiality, has its own nature, own characteristics, which are compared to the flavor of the food. It is called sa-rasa, the characteristic, the nature of the nama-rupa. Mentality and materiality are compared to the flavor of the food. So when one sits down from the standing position, sitting takes place. Intention to sit down is nama, mentality. The actual sitting down, body becoming heavier and heavier, it is materiality. So this heaviness is also a characteristic nature of materiality. So just as one has to chew to know the flavor, in the same way, one should note at the moment of sitting down so that one comes to know the true nature. At first, one may not know it, but when sati and samadhi, when mindfulness and concentration become strong, then one comes to know the nature, the characteristics of mentality and materiality. By being mindful at the moment of sitting, at times the noting mind may fall onto the intention to sit, which is mentality, and at times the noting mind may fall onto heaviness, which is materiality. Heaviness is the characteristic or nature of materiality. So one comes to know heaviness as the nature, which is compared to the flavor of food. So at the moment of noting sitting, one should note it as sitting as a whole. One should not be noting in an analyzing way, this is rupa, this is materiality, this is nama, mentality, but one should just note it in suttanta way as sitting. And by noting sitting, one will know the nature, the characteristic of nama, rupa, mentality, and materiality. So one should just note it as a whole, just as sitting, and one should not be analyzing whether it is materiality or mentality, but just note it as sitting. And when noting sitting, one should not be guessing what will be there. In order to know the true nature, one should know the object with aim and effort, aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object and putting effort so that the mind falls onto the object. So one should be noting according to the guidance given. Yatha nu seta, meaning that one should practice according to the guidance given. One should not be practicing in the way he, she thinks it's right, but one should follow the guidance and instruction. Follow the instruction, follow the guidance, and yogis should not be choosy or picky how they should practicing. Just follow the instruction. If one follows the instruction and guidance, by practicing today, the yogi can discern the true nature, the true characteristic today. Among the four truths, the first two, Dukkha Sajja and Smudaya Sajja, they are difficult to be discerned and thus they are profound. At the moment of sitting, if one is not mindful, then the mind will not be calm and collected, and thus one does not discern the truth. So the truth are hidden as one is not mindful of them. So if one is mindful, one just know it as sitting. One just know it as it is I who is sitting. It is a person sitting, a woman sitting, a man sitting, the soul sitting, the living being sitting. So in this way, one knows wrongly, there will be wrong view. Throughout one's round of assistance, throughout one's life, one is knowing wrongly that it is a person who is sitting, as one is not mindful. In this way, they are having wrong belief on being, living soul, and so on, and they are wasting their time with their wrong view. At the moment of sitting, there are series of intention to sit, and the series of actual sitting down, which are arising continuously just like a stream of current. And it is difficult to be discerned, and thus it is profound. When one notes sitting, aiming the noting mind towards the object, putting effort in the practice, then one will be able to note continuously, and one will be noting sitting. So when there is sustained mindfulness, one's mind will fall calm and collected on the object. Samadhi concentration will develop. When samadhi concentration has developed, one will know the true nature. One will discern the series of intention to sit and the actual sitting down, when the body becomes heavier and heavier. So in this way, one should be mindful. One should note these objects with aim and effort. There should be sustained mindfulness. If there is no mindfulness, there can be wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds. There can be lobha, greed. There can also be vyabada, ill will. There can be anger, hatred, aversion, and there can be laziness, distraction, remorse, thinking, imagining. In this way, the mind will be polluted as there is no knowledge developed. By noting rising and falling of the abdomen, by noting sitting and so on, one's mind will be free from nivrana, hindrances. When the mind is free from hindrances, the mind will not be polluted, but the mind will be calm, serene. Calm and serene as the mind is away from nivrana, hindrances. When the mind is free from nivrana, hindrances, then one can discern the truth. One can discern Dukkha Sajja, the truth of suffering, which is profound. It is said that Gambiro pi dhammo paripakha vikamanena supagato bhaveya, meaning that even though the Dhamma is very profound, But when one is free from the opposite mental states, when the mind is free from nirvana hindrances, then the Dhamma will be prominent. The Dhamma will be obvious. So in order to discern the Dhamma, which is profound, which is difficult to be discerned, and thus it is profound, yogis should be noting with aim and effort so that there will be sustained mindfulness. When there is sustained mindfulness, the mind will be calm and collected, and the mind will be free from nirvana. Patipekha vikamanena, meaning the mind will be free from opposite mental states, the defilements and the hindrances. So by removing the hindrances, when the hindrances become distant, the mind will be pure and clean. When the mind is away from these nirvana hindrances, one will discern dukkha satta, the truth of suffering. And at the moment of sitting, one discerns the intention to sit and also the actual sitting down, which is materiality. Body becomes heavier and heavier. In this way, when the mind is free from hindrances, one discerns the dukkha satta, truth of suffering. So in order to know the profound Dhamma, one should be mindful. One should know the object with aim and effort so that there will be sustained mindfulness. The mind will be calm and collected. The mind will be away from the nirvanas, hindrances, and thus one will discern the dukkha satta, the truth of suffering, which is profound. So the dukkha satta, which is difficult to be discerned and thus profound, this dukkha satta, the dukkha satta, which is profound, can be discerned when one removes the hindrances. Among the hindrances that has been removed, there is kama chanda nirana, sensual desire, or in other words, craving, craving to see good things, craving to hear good sounds, and so on. So in this way, by discerning dukkha satta, one is also removing craving, and thus smudya satta, the truth of origin of suffering, is also dispelled. By noting at the moment of sitting down, one discerns nama dukkha satta, mentality, which is the truth of suffering, and also rupa dukkha satta, materiality, which is the truth of suffering. By discerning mentality and materiality, which are dukkha satta, one removes craving, and thus one also dispels smudya satta, the truth of origin of suffering. So in this way, based on the object that the yogi is able to note, he, she is free from craving. Based on the object, he, she can note, and also the person is free from craving on other objects. In this way, craving has no chance to arise. So it is said that by discerning dukkha satta, craving is also removed. So one is also dispelling smudya satta, the truth of origin of suffering. So it will be two at a blow. And by discerning correctly, one automatically develops magga satta, the truth of path leading to suffering. Discerning correctly, knowing correctly, one is removing avijja, ignorance. One is also removing tanha, craving. Wrong view of jiva atta has no chance to arise. Wrong view, believing in Parama Atta, Supreme Soul, has no chance to arise. In this way, discerning correctly, one also removes ignorance, craving, wrong view, and thus there is a momentary cessation of these defilements, and thus there is Nirodha Sajja, momentary cessation. So in this way, by discerning Dukkha Sajja, one is removing Smudya Sajja, one is removing craving, which is the truth of origin of suffering, and one develops Magga Sajja, the truth of path, and one realizes Nirodha Sajja, one realizes momentary cessation. So in this way, it is four at a blow, and Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.